Church, the book of James gives us a warning about a person who is double-minded. Brother Scott, he's talking about a person with divided loyalties. The warning of this scripture, Heartland, is one of having divided loyalties. So that we do not trust in the Lord, yet for some reason are still coming to God in prayer. We don't trust Him, but we're going there to God in prayer. James is not speaking to the doubts we have because we do not know the future or wonder what's going to happen. We see many people in the scriptures wondering what's going to happen or not know what's going to happen. We see that in scriptures often. You see that in David, in the Psalms. However, church, the problem is that you ask God not in faith, doubting because you're double-minded with God. The problem is illustrated in the life of the nation of Judah in the book of Jeremiah. Now, that's where we're going to spend our time today. So open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapters 37, 38, 39. We'll start with 37 and just hold it and we'll walk through it together. We're going to see and look at the problem of being double-minded people with double-minded prayers. I stopped to tell you before we start this morning, divided loyalties with God's people can't work. They cannot work. You turn your Bibles to chapter 37. In the first two verses, Jeremiah sets the themes for these three chapters, 37, 38, and 39. This is again a kind of sermon, Brother Scott. If you understand the characters and you get the story, you're going to get the points. It's a narrative. I'll tell the story, but if you'll just listen and get the people right in your thinking, the sermon will give you what you need to hear from it. Jeremiah 37. King Zedekiah is the king over Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has now removed King Jehoiachin and installed Zedekiah as the new king. But in Jeremiah 37, 2, Jeremiah tells us that neither Zedekiah nor his administration, nor the people in the land paid any attention to the words the Lord spoke through his prophet Jeremiah. Church, listen. This is the problem of Jeremiah chapters 37 through 9 and the theme. Nobody is listening to what God has spoken. So, Heartland, notice the odd thing that we're told in verse 3. Zedekiah, king of Judah, sends a messenger to Jeremiah, asking Jeremiah to pray to the Lord on their behalf. Church, I want us to see the problem that is put right in front of your eyes. No one is paying attention to what the Lord has spoken, but you want Jeremiah to intercede for you to the Lord while you are still in your disobedience. But Heartland, we know what this means, what it really means. This kind of heart is not seeking the truth, not the honest truth from the Lord. This person just wants good news from God, Brother Scott. This person just wants validation from the Lord. Lord, tell me everything is going to be okay, even though I am not paying any attention to what God has said. Don't tell me the truth. Twist the truth so that it is what I want to hear. Church, we're going to see this problem all through these three chapters of Jeremiah. Tell us good news while we disobey God. Heartland God has a message for the people through the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 37, verse 5, the Babylonians had withdrawn from Jerusalem to fight the Egyptians. But this was not the hope that the people of Judah were looking for. In verse 7 and 8, we read that the Babylonians were going to come back. And they're going to capture and destroy the city of Jerusalem. Church, listen carefully to God's message in verses 9 and 10. The text says, "Do not deceive yourselves. The Babylonians will not go away. Even if Judah defeated the whole Babylonian army, and all that remained were some wounded men, church, they would still rise up and burn the city with fire." Church, this is God's message. And do not deceive yourself with wishful thinking or false hope. Heartland, we still like to do this. We know what God plainly says about sin and judgment. But we want to deceive ourselves into thinking that maybe there's not going to be a judgment for sins. Or we want to deceive ourselves into thinking that our particular sins are not going to be judged. We want to deceive ourselves and think that maybe, just maybe, our disobedience might turn out for good. This is what those people want to hear in that day. But church, listen, and listen good. That is never God's message. Never. In verse 11, we read that Jeremiah left Jerusalem to go to the land of Benjamin to receive his property portion there. But he's arrested by the captain of the guard, who thinks that Jeremiah is trying to escape and join the Babylonians. Of course, Jeremiah denies this. But in Jeremiah 37, 15 and 16, they beat him and imprison him in a dungeon. King Zedekiah then sends for Jeremiah to come to the palace in Jerusalem so that he can find out if there is any word from God. Church, I hope we see again the double-minded nature of Zedekiah. He is not obeying the Lord, but he's hoping for God to answer their prayer, give them good news, and deliver them. The message does not change. Jeremiah and Jeremiah 37, 17 boldly tells Zedekiah that he is going to be handed over to the Babylonians. Then Jeremiah makes his plea to Zedekiah about why he has been left in the dungeon for days. Look at verse 19. Jeremiah asks, "Where are your prophets that told you that everything was going to be fine and that Babylon would not attack?" Church, listen, Jeremiah is the only one speaking the truth and giving God's true word. Jeremiah has not done anything wrong And so he begs that Zedekiah not send him back to that dungeon. Zedekiah listens, but he doesn't set Jeremiah free. Instead, Jeremiah remains in the custody of the guard. In chapter 38, as Jeremiah begins, we find out that some others who had heard Jeremiah's sermons were upset with him for what he preached and went to the king to have Jeremiah put to death for discouraging the people. Now, church, think about the charge against Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 38, 2 is not seeking the welfare and the good of the people, but their harm by telling them that anyone who stays in the city of Jerusalem will die. And anyone who surrenders to the Babylonians will live. Now, church, we've been reading how Zedekiah has been getting his spiritual updates from Jeremiah. Notice the great defense of Zedekiah in verse 5. Zedekiah simply caves and tells these people that they can have Jeremiah. And Zedekiah is not going to do anything to stop them. Heartland, what we really see here is weak leadership out of fear. Zedekiah is afraid of the people. In verse 19, we will read this problem of fear also. Church, listen. As God's people, listen, we are called to be courageous and serve the Lord, even in the face of adversity and opposition, and even when it's frightening or difficult to do so. Zedekiah, has no strength to do what's right. And he allows Jeremiah to be taken by these men and thrown into an empty cistern to die. This event is similar to what happened to Joseph. Most of you know the Joseph story, when his brothers took him and put him in a cistern to die until they decided to sell him into Egyptian slavery. But these men who did this to Jeremiah are not going to sell him. They're just going to let him die. Jeremiah 38:7, we now read of a courageous man named Ebed-Melech. He's not from the tribe of Judah. As a matter of fact, he's a Gentile. He's an Ethiopian eunuch who is serving in the king's house. He heard what happened to Jeremiah and tells the king what these evil people did. So the king gives authority to Ebed-Melech to take 30 men and go lift Jeremiah out of the cistern. So they tie together old rags, Brother Scott, and worn out clothes, and they make a rope to lift Jeremiah out of the cistern. Now, is Jeremiah free yet? No. In Jeremiah 38, 13, Jeremiah is returned to the custody of the guard. Now, Heartland, after all of this, look at what Zedekiah does. In Jeremiah 38, 14, Zedekiah wants to inquire again through Jeremiah. So, church, how are you feeling right now if you're Jeremiah? And what are you thinking about this king? Listen to how Jeremiah answers King Zedekiah. Look at verse 15. Jeremiah says, if I give you an answer, will you not kill me? Even if I did counsel you, you wouldn't listen to me. Jeremiah just can't believe that Zedekiah wants to speak to him again. You haven't been listening to me. What's the point? You're going to kill me when you hear the message. If I tell you what you should do, are you not going to listen anyway? Well, I won't say it this way. You're not going to listen anyway. Zedekiah says he will not kill Jeremiah. So Jeremiah in Jeremiah 38, 17, and 18 proceeds to say the same message that he's been saying the whole time in his prophetic ministry. If you surrender, you will live. If you don't surrender, Babylon will burn the city to the ground. But Zedekiah says he cannot surrender. Why? Because he's afraid of the people and the mistreatment that he will endure if he surrenders. But Jeremiah tells him that it will go well for him and his life will be spared if he surrenders. But in Jeremiah 38, 28, Zedekiah, again, sends Jeremiah back into the custody of the guard rather than setting him free. In chapter 39, Zedekiah does not surrender. And chapter 39 records the fall of Jerusalem. Just as the Lord had said, Babylon, the Babylonians came and destroyed the city. Zedekiah was captured. His eyes were gouged out after watching his children killed. And he was carried to Babylon in shackles. But Heartland, I want us this morning to focus on the ending of Jeremiah 39 and two points that I'm going to make. First, look at verses 11 through 14. Nebuchadnezzar gave the command. This is the Babylonian king. He gave the command to not harm Jeremiah and to do whatever Jeremiah asked. Just think about this. What foreign king, Brother Scott, invading a nation, gives a command to take care of this prophet who is living in Jerusalem? Clearly, Heartland, this is the hand of God moving in Nebuchadnezzar to protect his prophet. In verse 14, we see that Jeremiah is treated better by Nebuchadnezzar than he was treated by his own king, Zedekiah. Jeremiah, taken out of custody of the guard, returned to his home, and allowed to live among his own people. Heartland, I want us to see that all the chaos, persecution, and pain, God was with, through it all, God was with his prophet. And he took care of him through these years of service. The second point turns our attention back to Ebed-Melech. Remember that he's the one who heard that Jeremiah had been left for dead in the cistern and urged King Zedekiah to allow him to do something about it. Look at Jeremiah chapter 39, verses 16 and 17, and notice the message given to him. God would destroy the city just as he said, but he's going to rescue Ebed-Melech. Ebed-Melech will not be given into the hands of those of whom he is afraid. God will save him. He won't die by the sword. God will rescue his life. Here's my question for us this morning. Why did God save Jeremiah? And why did God save Ebed Melech? Read the last sentence of this chapter and how the rescue came, why the rescue came in Jeremiah 39, 18. Listen to what the Bible says. This is why he did it. Because you have put your trust in me, declares the Lord. Heartland, what was the difference between Zedekiah and Ebed-Melech? Zedekiah was double-minded, and Ebed-Melech was not. Think about the ways that Zedekiah was double-minded in these three chapters. First, in Jeremiah 37:2, Zedekiah showed he was double-minded because he wanted prayers made to the Lord on his behalf, but he did not pay attention or obey the word of God. Zedekiah speaks religiously, but he lives rebelliously against the Lord. He speaks of prayer and intercession, but he's not living the words he's proclaiming. Second, in Jeremiah 37, 9 and 10, he showed he was double-minded because he wanted to believe everything would be okay, even though he was continuing in his sins. Zedekiah wanted relief without repentance. Third, in Jeremiah 37, 17, Zedekiah rather was double-minded because he would listen to God's word in private, but would not publicly exert his faith or lead the people in faith to God. Even when Zedekiah rescues Jeremiah from the dungeon, he wouldn't set him free. Instead, he put Jeremiah back in the custody of the guard. Fourth, Zedekiah was double-minded because in Jeremiah 38, 19, he was more afraid of the people and what they would do to him than of the Lord and doing what the Lord told him to do. As James describes in James 1, Zedekiah is unstable in all his ways because he has divided loyalty. Church, listen. I want to make sure that we understand moving forward at Heartland that as we serve our God, Brother Theron, we can't have divided loyalties. Divided loyalties cannot work for God's people. What I want us to do with this lesson this morning is consider the fruit of his life in terms of Zedekiah, which shows his lack of loyalty to God. His actions reveal his double-minded problem. None of us would want to think that we're double-minded, but we must consider the fruit. Do we speak righteously, but continue disobeying God? Do we want God's relief in our lives, but are unwilling to repent? Do we listen to God's word in a safe place, but are unwilling to live our faith before the world? Do we fear what people think about what we're doing and may say so much that we do not obey God's commands for righteous words and righteous living? Heartland, I want us to understand this morning that divided loyalty cannot work for God's people. 2026 will be a good year for us. I want to leave this morning, you Sister Jameson, Sister Body, Sister Brown, Sheikah D, Angie, Atanji rather, Sister Murray, Sister Tina, Brother Hayden. We're going to move, Sister Body, doing what God said. We're not going to move into 2026 afraid of anything. If God said it, we're going to do it just like that. We are the church of Christ. We cannot have divided loyalty and think we can be pleasing to God. Zedekiah tried it. It didn't work. But Ebed-Melech and Jeremiah did exactly what God said. They told the truth. They lived the truth. Heartland, that's where we want to hang our hat. Sister Brown, that's what we want to do in 2026. If God said it, we believe it, that settles it. And we're going to do it. God will be with us, just like he was with Ebed-Melech, just like he was with Jeremiah. What king takes over a country and then takes a prophet that was not a part of his country and gives him solace and freedom? God was with him. Can I tell y'all something? He'll be with us, Brother Hayden, if we'll just stay faithful and our loyalties are not divided. I trust God. And yeah, in leadership, are we always going to be perfect? No. Are we going to make some mistakes? Yes. Are you guys going to be perfect followers? No. Will you make some mistakes? Unequivocally, yes. But I stop to tell you that we serve a perfect God who will grant us grace if we'll just stay the course, keep our minds and our eyes on serving God with the best that we have to offer. We cannot serve God with divided loyalties. Whatever God says, let's do that. We cannot be unstable in our requests and prayers to God. We cannot be so unstable that we are double-minded. Lord, help us. Just make us feel good. No, Lord, tell us what to do. We've made up our mind. Sister Jameson, we're going to do it. Watch God bless us. I trust the Lord, and I know you do. I am intended for this message to be exactly what it is, to show what doesn't work. Divided loyalties can't help God's people. Won't work. We need to set our heart, Brother Scott, on whatever God says. That's what we're going to do. My encouragement to you this morning, if you have never named the name of Jesus and you haven't been baptized and added to the church that's in the Bible, God says, not Brother Red, that he has a plan. And the plan to be able to do that starts in Romans 10, 17. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm talking about the death, burial, and resurrection. You must believe that Jesus came, he was buried, he was raised, and he's now in heaven. That's what you must believe. You must believe the gospel. That's the gospel, the good news of Jesus. In Mark 16, 15, and 16, the Bible teaches, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not will be condemned. Church, once you heard and you believe the gospel, the Bible teaches that you must repent of your past sins. In Luke 13, 3, the Bible says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. After you have heard, believed, repented, and the Bible teaches that you must confess the name of Jesus. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. What are you confessing, Brother Red? I confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Once you hear, believe, repent, confess, you must be baptized. In Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was asked, what should they do? They had just killed Jesus. They knew they killed the Son of God. Peter told them. Then messed it up. They said, Peter, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts 2, verse 47, God will add you to the church that's in the Bible. Let me tell y'all something. Most of you know this. People say it doesn't matter what church you go to. Tell them to show you that in the Bible. One time, anywhere, the Bible says that God will add you to the church. What church? It wasn't but one church in AD 33. What church was it? In Romans 1:16, the Bible says the churches of Christ salute you. Wasn't but one church. Listen, if they were preaching Jesus before then, Sister Brown, they couldn't have been, because Jesus hadn't died yet. So if they said it was before the day of Pentecost, it couldn't be the church, because Jesus wasn't dead. And if they said it was after AD 33, it couldn't be Jesus. If whatever it is, organization that they're in, it couldn't be the church. Because the church in Acts 2:41 and 47, Brother Theron, that was AD 33. It happened in Jerusalem. I'll challenge any teacher, any preacher anywhere to teach you something differently from the Bible. God will add you to the church that's in the Bible. If you're here this morning and you know as a Christian that you've been living double-minded, you know that you've been living with divided loyalties, don't do that. You're putting yourself in harm's way unnecessarily. God will bless you. He'll forgive you. We'll encourage you and love you and help you. But Sister Bonnie, in 2026, we're plowing. We're plowing in the kingdom. Why, Brother Hayden? Because we know we're on our way to heaven. John says, I write these things so you can know you have eternal life. You don't have to guess. There's nothing more encouraging to know that if God calls me home, I'll be all right. That's where we want to be. And we can all be like Jeremiah and do the things that God would ask us to do. God's going to bless us abundantly. Don't ever grow weary in well-doing. Heartland, you keep on living for the Lord. No matter what folks say, don't be discouraged about what they feel about you. They think they're... No, no, let them think what they want to. I'll tell you what you do. You get your Bible and just stay right here. Stay right here. That's what you want to do. You'll stay right here. God will keep on blessing us. I hope this morning that I've said some things